This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Ruzazi. We're coming you to our series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walking with the Prophet. Episode number 33 or 34. Yashmeen, she knows. Assalamu alaikum, Yashmeen. What episode is this today? What episode are we on? Is it 33 or 34? Walking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alaikum salam, Nawal. How are you? Alaikum salam, Sara, and all of you guys out there. And Sumayya Kobi, alaikum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh from Facebook. Ahlan wa sahlan. Alex Taj, ahlan wa sahlan, marhaba. Oh, it's 35 today. All right. Jazakallah khair, Yasmin. Okay, so it's episode number 35 from the Sira series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I've been saying, it is not just the Sira. No, it is not the Sira. It is actually more than the Sira of the Prophet. It's actually living with the Prophet Muhammad. That's why I call it upon the footsteps. So that's why I call it Walking with the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. And today I have a surprise for you. Today, inshallah, I have a beautiful surprise for all of you. How are the brothers and the sisters on Facebook? How are you guys doing? And those on Instagram, how are you guys doing? How's everybody on Facebook doing? And those of you on Instagram, how are you doing? How's everyone keeping up? How are you guys keeping up? Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, doing great. Allahumma lakal hamd. Alex Hajj, ahlan. Alex Hajj from the St. Catherine area. Wa alaikum salam. And Salina Alfandi, wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillahumma salli wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad. Ahlan Saidan Wahma, ahlan. And Naim Banat is there, my man. And Lightspread came in today as well, mashallah. And Mu'nisa, she's in the house tonight, mashallah, as well. Who else is in the house tonight from Facebook? Who else is in the house tonight? What is going on with Instagram? Where's everyone? Mu'nisa is there. Who else? Good. Rubina Azam. Ahlan wa sahlan, Rubina Azam. Marhaba. Okay, alhamdulillah, Yasmin. Zakallah khair. Zakallah khair. Today, as I said, I have a beautiful surprise for all of you, inshallah ta'ala. I remember I promised for a poem, right? I promised a poem for all of you because I've been giving, you know, if you remember, those of you since we started, you know, the past Ramadan, you know, every now and then I will throw in a poem or a song, right, for all of you. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll have a special poem. Today I have a special poem, but this poem for tonight, it will be in form of a letter. A letter from a wife to her husband. And then the husband will reply to his wife, inshallah. So today will be really special, right? After we finish the seerah, inshallah ta'ala. Ya hala, ahlan, ahlan, ahlan wa marhaba. Ahlan, ahlan bin noor al-qalb, ahlan. Okay, wa alaikum salam, Rubina Azam, and Rose Lily, and Tasneem Halwan, ahlan, ahlan. Rose, ahlikum salam, rahmatullah wa barakatuh. So today, as I mentioned, sisters and brothers, yes, it is just not the seerah, it's something called walking upon the footsteps of the Prophet. But at the very end, the surprise. I have not sang for you for a long time, nor have I shared any poems for you for a long time. But today, inshallah, you want to stay on. Don't go away, because I'm going to share with you a very special poem. A very, very special poem. A letter from a wife to her husband. A letter from a wife to her husband, and then the husband will reply to his wife. It makes me so emotional sometimes, but I'm gonna try, inshallah ta'ala, to hold my tears when I do this. So that's at the end, and inshallah, I'm not gonna keep this too long, you know, normally between half an hour to 40 minutes max to try to engage all of you, inshallah, talking about Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam. So yesterday, brothers and sisters, remember when we talked about, you know, the Prophet migrating to Medina and setting up the survey, that censor survey, building his intelligence team, alayhi salatu wassalam. And then, if you remember, he was sending expeditions, testing the water. Then he found out that Abu Sufyan was taking a caravan out from Mecca towards Asham. And that you know, caravan was basically the belongings of the Sahaba, of you know, of the Muslims, the Sahaba that left everything behind them when they were in Mecca, because they left everything behind. Quraysh took possession of everything. So the Sahaba, they just came out with their deen. They came out to save their, you know, their faith. And then when the Prophet Muhammad, السلام, you know, came to know, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, came out with the Sahaba. He came out with the Sahaba. There were about 313 or 314. Between 313 or 314 people, whereas Quraysh, there were over 1,000. With, you know, so many horses and camels. But the Muslims, they had about only like two horses they had with them. And they were not going to fight. You know, they just went after the caravan. They went after the caravan because the caravan had about 30 people, right? Had 30 people with them. So they said, this is our belongings. This is our possessions. We're going to go back and get our possessions. Brothers and sisters, I have a question, a very, very important question. Prophet Muhammad, before migrating to Medina, Prophet Muhammad, before migrating to Medina, remember he had amanat. He had amanat, like Quraysh, they left, you know, some amanat with him. And then, you know, when he, before he left, he told Ali radiallahu anhu to give the amanat back to the to the Quraysh. So now, this caravan, you know, that is moving from Mecca to the Sham for business, trade, you know, the Prophet Muhammad, when he came to know, he told the Sahaba, let's go and attack that caravan. Then why didn't the Prophet Muhammad, since it's their belongings anyways and their possessions, why didn't the Prophet Muhammad took, you know, the amanat? Because the amanat, you guys took everything from us, so I'm not going to give you your amanat back. But why the Prophet didn't do that? Why, when he heard about the caravan, he moved, right? He asked the Sahaba to go and attack the, you know, that caravan. Why didn't he take the amanat back from Quraysh? You know, whereas they're all theirs anyways. It belongs to the Sahabis that went with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. But instead, he did not do that. But when he heard about the caravan moving, right, he attacked, you know, he said, let's go and attack the caravan of Abu Sufyan. So my question to you, my brothers and sisters, why Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did not, you know, take the amanat that he was given before he migrated to Medina? Why he made sure that he returned every amanah that somebody, you know, from Quraysh gave him, why he made sure that he returned that to them, you know, whereas when he heard about the caravan, traveling for trade, he asked the Sahaba to go and attack that caravan. So the question is why? Who can tell me why, sisters and brothers, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram? Why did the Prophet do so? Very important though. Why did the Prophet do so? Why? Anybody? Why Prophet Muhammad had to return the amanat that people gave him in Mecca? Right? And why? To uphold the image of him being Zal. What's Zal again? Layla, don't talk to me Rifiya. Talk to me in Arabic or English. Are you talking Rifiya to me again? To uphold the image of him being Zal. I don't know what Zal means. I don't know what Zal means. Right? I don't know what that means. But you know, the question was, I don't know what Zal means. Talk to me either Arabic or in English, but don't talk to me in Rifiya. So to uphold the image of him being something. Okay, what was it? Who is in authority? I don't know what you mean. What you mean by that, Yasmin? Why Prophet Muhammad had to give back the amanat? But then when he heard about the caravan trading, you know, from Mecca to Medina, he says, let's attack the caravan. By the way, those who come in on, you know, a little bit late, inshallah, there is a very beautiful surprise at the end, maybe half an hour, and at the end, I'm going to share with you a very beautiful poem. It's just, you know, a woman, a wife, you know, sending a letter to her husband, and then the husband will, inshallah, reply back to his wife. So this is a very special surprise bonus to all of you. Being a leader is their right over him, a trust. He was Amin. People trusted him. Why would he break his promise? Okay, I like everything I'm reading here. Rubina Azam, she says, because it was an amanat. Great. It did not belong to him or Muslims. Rubina Azam, she got it right. He don't want to break the trust. Shazia, she got it right. That he was trustworthy. That was right. Being a leader. Naam, exactly. That was the one of his attributes, amanat al-amin. Exactly, Salina. All right. She got it right as well. All of you understood. So if I give you an amana, right? And then let's say we have a business transaction, you and I, right? We have a business transaction. And then let's say there was some money that I have to give you. And then you say, well, I'm not going to give you your money because I'm not going to give you this amana because you have to give me my money first, right? So that's separate. That's two different, you know, totally different things. You know, it was an amana which I have given you, right? That's between you and I. That's separate. But then comes in this business trade, right? And I owe you money, right? I owe you money. And but those are two different transactions. Those are two different transactions. They're not the same. Right? So I have to give you, you know, the amana is separate. The amana, you know, I have to give it back to you. But then when it comes to some business transactions and then you have to give me my money and then you did not give me the money, it says, okay, well, because you did not give me the money, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to not give you your amana. No, those are two separate things. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's why he told the Sahaba, yes, this is your belongings. This trade, this caravan has all your belongings. Let's go and attack it. And in fact, the order came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then with regard to the amanat, it's a separate thing. It's a separate, totally separate thing. So I think you all understood why the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, made that move. Brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad today is 53 years old. Or no, he was 55 years old. Because he migrated, he was 53 when he migrated. Today he's 55, 2 years after the migration to Medina. So when he collected the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum, the Sahaba, because Abu Sufyan, he heard, he had also his intelligence team bringing him the news. So Abu Sufyan, he made a detour. He made a detour and then he went through the coast or from the coast. So now, as the Prophet Muhammad was going, you know, to attack the caravan changed its detour and went and took a different route. Prophet Muhammad came to know. So now, and Quraysh is coming. Because Quraysh, they came out to save the caravan, to save their trade, to save their, you know, the money. But they wanted just to save the caravan. The caravan now is safe. The caravan now is safe. Instead of, you know, Quraysh, now there were some discrepancies or disagreements amongst them. Some of them said, you know, because those who said let's go back had their own family members from the Muslims. They didn't want to fight. They said, well, we just came because of the caravan is safe, let's go back home. But the majority, including Abu Jahl says, we're not going back, we're here, we're going to fight. We're going to fight Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now on the Muslim side, the Muslims were also stuck. إِذْ كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, I mentioned that yesterday and I said, please try to read Surah Al-Anfal because Surah Al-Anfal, chapter Al-Anfal, talks a lot about, you know, the battle of Badr. So they did not want to fight because they were not ready to fight. The caravan has taken a detour, so the caravan is safe. Now the Muslims are, you know, stuck. They're facing either two options, either to go and face Quraysh and fight them, or to retreat. But it's too late for them to retreat. They're already there, almost in that battlefield in Badr, what it's called Badr. So the Prophet Muhammad collected the Sahaba, and then he told them, "Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas." Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas, tell me what you think of people. Tell me what you think. What should we do? Should we retreat? Or should we face them? Quraysh is coming. You know, they're going to attack us. They're going to fight us. So what should we do? Should we retreat back to Medina? Or should we fight them? Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. So Abu Bakr stood up, radiallahu anhu wa'adah. And he said something good, that we're with you, Ya Rasulullah, regardless of what you decide to do, we are following you, Ya Rasulullah. And then Umar stood up and said the same thing. Uthman stood up and said the same thing. Al-Miqdad stood up and said the same thing. He says, Imdi, Ya Rasulullah, Al-Miqdad. All these are from the Muhajirin. None of them are from the Ansar. All those people that stood up so far are from the Muhajireen. They said, Ya Rasulullah, one of them is, you know, Al-Miqdad ibn Amr, he says, Ya Rasulullah, we're not going to tell you what, you know, the people of Musa told Musa. The people of Musa, they said, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنها هنا قاعدون. They said, go, you know, and fight, you know, with your Lord. Go to your Lord and fight. We're going to stay here. We're not going to remain here. We're not going with you. So Al-Miqdad says, we're not going to tell you what the people of Musa told Musa. Go, you know, أنت وربك, we're sitting here, we're standing here, we're not going with you. We're going to say, go, اذهب وقاتل, إن معك مقاتلين. We shall be with you. We're going to follow you. If you tell us to cross this ocean, we'll cross the ocean. Whatever you tell us to do, we shall do. And the Prophet was happy. But Prophet Muhammad wanted to hear from different people. He wanted to hear from the Ansar. And then he kept on saying, Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. Tell me what you think of people. What should we do? And then Sa'd ibn Mu'ad. You know, the elite of Sayyid al-Aws, the master, the leader of al-Aws, the tribe of Aws. He says, Ka'annaka turiduna ya Rasulullah. As if you are, you know, you mean us, O Prophet of Allah. As if you mean us, the Ansar, ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet, he nodded, I need to hear from you. This is my people, the Muhajirin, but I need to hear from you as well, the Ansar. And then he says, كَأَنَّكَ تُرِدُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet said, yes. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَقَدْ آمَنَّا بِكْ وَصَدَّقْنَاكَ وَأَعْطَيْنَاكَ عُهُودَنَا وَمَوَاثِيقَنَا عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. O Rasulullah, he said, we have believed in you. We've believed in you, O Rasulullah, and we made an oath that we shall protect you, that we shall defend you, that we shall, you know, assist you and be with you, Rasulullah. We gave you those oaths. أعطيناك عهودنا ومواثقنا على السمع والطاعة, that we shall obey and hear and listen and act, يا رسول الله. فمضي يا رسول الله. Go move on, O Prophet of Allah. He said, move on, O Prophet of Allah. لو خط بنا هذا البحر خذناه معك. Even if you were to go and cross this ocean, يا رسول الله, we shall cross it with you. We're not going to leave you behind. We're going with you. We're all the way in, ya Rasulullah. ما تخلف منا رجل واحد. Not a single man will stay back. If you were to tell us to cross this ocean, not a single man from us, the Ansar, will stay back. We are all in, ya Rasulullah. And then he says, ما تخلف منا رجل واحد. وخذ من أموالنا ما تشاء. وترك لنا ما تشاء. And he says, ya Rasulullah, take from our wealth whatever you wish and leave whatever you wish. What an amazing, look, the Prophet Muhammad is listening to this. And as if I can see him, his eyes are becoming, so wide, and his face is becoming so bright, and he's smiling when he's hearing this. As if I see him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hearing this amazing news from, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He's telling him, Ya Rasulullah, all our wealth is yours. Take whatever you want from it and leave whatever you want from it, Ya Rasulullah. وَتُلُكْ لَنَا مَا شِئْتْ وَيَكُونُ الَّذِي أَخَذْتَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا أَحَبَّ مِنَ الَّذِي تَرَكْتَ لَنَا. And he says, that which you will take from our wealth will be more beloved to us than that which, in fact, you will leave for us. Yeah, and if you were to take more of our wealth, we will be happier than from that which you will leave us, behind, Ya Rasulullah. And you take as much as you want, take whatever you want, we are behind you, 100%. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلْيَكُنْ الَّذِي أَخَذْتَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا أَحَبْ إِلَيْنَا مِمَّا تَرَكْتْ وَهَسَلْ مِنْ مَا شِئْتْ وَعَادَ مِنْ مَا شِئْتْ. He says, ask whatever you want with you, Rasulullah. So Prophet Muhammad made that move and says, we're moving forward. كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ يُجَادِلُونَكَ فِي الْحَقِّ بَعْدَمَا تَبَيَّنْ كَأَنَّمَا يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ وَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Now there are two things. Either they will fight and they will have to go and fight and face Quraysh. And Allah has promised them two things. Either ihdal husnayain, either to win, or those who were to become martyrs, the other promise is al-Firdaus. Two things. Here's the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Winning the battle, although there were only 313 or 314, winning the battle, and for those who will get martyred, Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised them Jannatul Firdaus. Ihda al-husnayayn, the two good ones, either al-jannah or al-nasab, or victory. So they'll be coming victorious anyways, because they came forth, khalas, they left everything. As I mentioned yesterday, brothers and sisters, they were not ready. Some of them came with only their izal with them. They didn't even have the rida. They have nothing to wear, only something to cover their private parts. Imagine, like the man I mentioned yesterday, Sawad ibn Ghaziyya. He had nothing. He had only, you know, izar covering him from the bottom. And then he didn't have the rida. When the Prophet pushed him, you know, and he says, make up the line, and I'll go back and make the line up. And then the guy said, Ya Rasulullah, you hurt me. You know, I want al-qasas, I want to hurt you back. I mentioned that story yesterday. And then he says, okay, well, go ahead, Ya Qasas, go ahead and do it. And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, take off your armor, take off your shield, take off your shirt. Take off your shirt because I'm not wearing anything. And then the man, he jumped at the Prophet, you know, and he kissed his belly. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did you do what you did, oh Sawad? He says, Ya Rasulullah, you see, we're not ready for this. I'm not ready with it. You know, we did not come prepared to fight. I may die tonight. Well, I may die today. And I would have wanted, Ya Rasulullah, that, you know, if I were to die today, the last thing I would have done is I have kissed your belly. The last thing I would have done in this dunya is I would have kissed your belly, Ya Rasulullah. And then I can die. Brothers and sisters, this happened in the second year of the Hijrah, and it happened in Ramadan, and the Muslims were fasting. Imagine, they were fasting, the Muslims, in the Battle of Badr, which happened in Ramadan. And by the way, just so you know, the majority of the Muslim battles, like Fatah Makkah also happened in Ramadan, where the Muslims were fasting. You know? The Maghul, the Tatar, that big battle with the leader of the Mamalik and the Tatar, you know, they, although that big battle that happened in Ramadan, the majority of these Muslim battles happened in Ramadan, where the Muslims were fighting. Ramadan, the month of blessing and the month of barakat. So my brothers and sisters, as the Sahaba were lining up, an arrow came from somewhere. An arrow came from somewhere and hit a Sahabi and killed him. His name is Haritha. His name is Haritha. The battle hasn't even started yet. An arrow came from somewhere, nowhere, and then killed this man. So his mother, Haritha, she came to the Prophet crying. She came to the Prophet crying. Ya Rasulullah, what happened to my son? I need to know what happened to my son. Where is he today? Tell me where he is today. If he's in Jannah, I shall be patient. I shall be patient and persevere. But if he's in hell, if he's somewhere else, I'm gonna cry and I'm gonna show Allah what I can do. And then the Prophet told her, Ya Umm Haritha, it is not Jannah, it is Jannat, and your son has reached the Firdaus al-A'la. Allahu Akbar. It is not just one Jannah, it is Jannat. It is not just one heaven, it is levels of heavens, levels, heavens, heavens, and ranks. But your son has reached the highest level in Jannah. The battle hasn't even started. So the first martyr was this man by the name of Haritha. And then there was another man by the name of Umayr ibn al-Hammam. Umayr ibn al-Hammam, he was eating some dates. And then he told the Prophet Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah, are you promising us Jannah, Abduha al-Samawat wal-Ard? You know, if you were to be martyred, are you promising us, you know, Jannah, like heaven, the width of which is the distance between the heaven, you know, the earth and the sky? Is this what you're promising us if you were to die today? He says, yes, Jannah, Abduha al-Samawat wal-Ard. And then he says, Bakh, in Arabic, Bakh, يعني, Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Bakhin, Ya Rasulullah, Allah. The Prophet says, why are you saying Bakhin? Why are you saying Allah? Why are you saying Allah? The man says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be Arju an akuna min ahliha. I want to be from the people of Jannah. I want to be from the people of Jannah. And then the Prophet says, you are from the people of Jannah. You are from the people of Jannah. And then the man in the battlefield, he kept on eating his dates. And then he realized, oh, if I were to wait until I finish my dates, it's a long life. And then he threw his dates and he proceeded into the battlefield and he got martyred, radiallahu anhu wa ardah. Brothers and sisters, before the battle started, there was a culture at the time between the Arabs. They used to call for the duel. You know, a man from this camp will call the man from the other camp. Yani a man from this army will call a man from another army to face one another. So came in Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah and then Walid ibn Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. So a father, his brother, and his son. Three people from the elite of Quraysh. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah and Al-Walid ibn Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. So a man, his brother, and his son, they came, you know, three of them, they came in and they asked the Muslims for a duel. So some three people came out from the Ansar and then they said, no, we want people from us, from our families, yani from Mecca, from Quraysh, from the Muhajirin. And then who came out? Ali came out, Hamza came out, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, ibn Abdul Muttalib, the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad, came out. Hamza, the man with the feather. I will talk about the man with the feather. Hamza came out. Ali came out. And then Abu Ubaidah came out. Three facing three. Hamza killed Utbah ibn Rabi'ah right away. Hamza is a lion hunter. Remember when we were talking earlier about, you know, about the Sahaba and about Umar and Hamza. Hamza is a lion hunter. He's a very strong man, tall and strong. The uncle of the Prophet Muhammad. He went right away, he killed Shayba. And then Utbah. And then his brother, his son, was killed by Ali radiallahu anhu wa'adha. And then came that, you know, the duel between Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, ibn Abdul Muttalib, and Al-Walid. So they were exchanged, as they were fighting, they exchanged some, strikes between the two, and both of them, you know, struck each other. Abu Ubaidah got hurt. Hamza and Ali jumped on Walid, and then they killed him. And then they took, he got wounded. Abu Ubaidah got wounded, and then the Prophet held him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as blood was dripping, he was wounded. And then he says, Ya Rasulallah, our fate. Have I exceeded? Have I met your expectations? Have I met what Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, has expected from me? Have I our fate? He says, Allahumma inni ashhad annahu waffa. Oh Allah, I bear witness that my cousin Abu Ubaidah has waffa, has exceeded, has fulfilled the promise. I bear witness that he has fulfilled the promise of Allah. Prophet Muhammad testified for his cousin, and his cousin died later on, not in the battle, but he died later on because he got wounded. Radiallahu anhu arda. The battle started. The Muslims, although they were outnumbered, but as you know, yes, they won the battle. So much so that they were two kids, youngsters. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he mentions this. He says, Mu'ad and Mu'awad, two brothers, 14, 15. They asked Abdurrahman, uncle, you know a man by the name of Abu Jahl? He says, yes. He says, we heard that he's been abusing the Prophet Muhammad. He says, yes. He says, please, could you show him, you know, if you see him, we want to see him, you know, because we don't know how he looks like. So these two boys were from the Ansar. They don't know how Abu Jahl looks like. He says, please, uncle, if you see him, just show him. Show him to us and we'll take care of him. So Abdurrahman was so impressed. So as the battle started, you know, and then Abu Jahl was surrounded by his army, his soldiers. And then they said, he said to Mu'ad and Ubay, says, you see that man there on that horse? That's him, that's Abu Jahl. He says, before I finished, they jumped and they flew like they were flying. They went and they tried to, you know, and then they bypassed everyone until they reached Abu Jahl. And then both of them, they one struck him from one side and the other one struck him from the other side, you know, and they tried to kill him. And they did, in fact. But then what happened was Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, saw them. And then he came running after them. So they ran back into the camps of the Muslims because their aim was to kill Abu Jahl. So they ran back. As they were running back, Ikrimah hit one of them and hit him on his shoulder. So he cut off his hand, his arm. You know, his arm was cut off. But it was still attached to his body through a piece of skin, subhanAllah. A small piece of skin was still, you know, holding his arm together. So when he was running, you know, his arm was bothering him. This is Mu'ad. When he was running, his arm was bothering him. So what did he do? He says, I put my arm on the ground. I put my foot on my hand, and I snatched it out. This is just scary, just listening to this, right? He says, I put my foot, I stepped on my hand, and I snatched my whole arm off of my body, and then I ran back into the Muslim side. They came to Rasulullah, Rasulullah, I killed Abu Jahl. Mu'awiyah says, no, Rasulullah, I killed him. Mu'awiyah says, no, I killed him. Mu'awiyah says, no, I killed him. The Prophet says, you both killed him. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, something beautifully happened. What happened? The rain I mentioned yesterday. What rain? Look, in that camp, during the night, everybody went to sleep. Everybody went to sleep. The Quraysh in the camp, they were partying, drinking alcohol, drinking and partying and dancing. The Muslims, they're making qiyam, then the Prophet ordered them to sleep. But he kept two, you know, people, of course, to guard. He kept two people to guard. Even the guards slept. One of the guards was saying, 7 times the sword fell off of my hand. He also slept. What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully said that in the Quran. إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent down the rain, beautiful rain. Imagine like when you're tired and then you take a shower to refresh, right? You're really tired and then you say, I just want to take a shower, you know? I want to take a shower to refresh, and then you take that shower and then you feel refreshed. This rain that fell in the camp of the Muslims was just a beautiful rain, you know, to wake them up, to keep them refreshed, and also to make the ground firm so that when they walk, they're not going to be tired because it's all desert. So when they were walking, they're not tired because the rain made the earth be firm, the ground be firm. Whereas on the other side, subhanAllah, it was pouring rain so much so that the ground became so rough. When they were walking, Quraysh, they were so tired. By the time they reached the battlefield, they were extremely exhausted. So rain is rain, subhanAllah. It's the same rain. Here, it was beautiful rain to wake them up, to refresh them, to make the ground look firm. And on the other camp, subhanAllah, the rain was flooded. Ajib, it is one of the soldiers of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah sent down more soldiers. What soldiers, brothers and sisters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَأُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ فَاضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْأَعْنَاقِ وَاضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانٍ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُّوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ ذَلِكُمْ فَذُوقُوهُ وَأَنَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And Allah Azza wa Jalla sent down the angels. And Allah sent down the angels. Alfin min al-malaikati muzdifin. Angels came in down. 1,000 angels came down, led by Jibreel himself. They came down wearing green turbans with their swords, and their swords were from fire. The Sahabi would say, we were fighting, and before I strike, one of them says, before I strike the enemy, his head flew in the air. Before even me touching him, his head flew in the air. And they were looking into their necks. They saw that their necks had some, you know, some burn in them. What kind of burn? The Prophet told them, those are the angels. The angels, they fight. They had swords from fire. the angels came to support them, to help them. The help of Allah Azza wa Jal. They passed the tests. They were tested. They were trialed. They came. They were not ready. But when they gave in, when they submitted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came in form of rain, in form of peace. Even a dream. When they slept, they saw a dream. And in the dream, they saw that they outnumbered Quraysh. Subhanallah. Naam. They saw that Muslims outnumbered Quraysh. All the Quraysh outnumbered the Muslims in terms of number. But subhanAllah, when they looked at them, they said, oh, there were just few. We thought there were more, but there were only few. Subhanallah, but in contrary, in the other camp, Quraysh looking at the Muslims, they looked like, wow, there are many numbers. What happened? We thought there were only 300 or so, but they looked like they were masses, like massive camp. Allah threw that, threw fear into the heart of Quraysh. Into the heart of Quraysh. Abu Jahl died. Umayyah ibn Khalaf died. Uqba ibn Mu'ayt died and got killed. All those people, brothers and sisters, who used to abuse the Sahaba, the elite of Quraysh, who persecuted the Sahaba, the majority got killed. When they were thrown into this graveyard, came the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ addressing them one by one. Oh so and so, oh so and so, oh so and so. Have you found what Allah has promised you? I found what Allah has promised me. Have you found what Allah has promised you? The Sahaba said, Rasulullah, you're talking to them, they're dead. They're dead. He says, yes, but they hear me better than you hear me. They hear me now better than you are hearing me. But this is only applicable to the Prophet. You cannot go to somebody who's dead and then you start talking to that person who's dead. He says, he hears me. No. Who's dead, he's dead. Khalas, he's gone. But this was applicable only to the Prophet Muhammad when he was talking to, to the graveyard, to these people when they died, when they got killed. And the Prophet, it was not narrated or reported that the Prophet used to go to the graves and talking to the dead. Although there was this dua, of course, when you go to a graveyard, you make a dua for the dead people, but it is not prescribed when you go to a graveyard and start talking to the person who's dead. Okay, mom, this is what happened. Dad, this is what happened. This is what happened. Who's dead? He's dead. You can make dua for them. You can make dua for them. You can give sadaqah on their behalf, on their name. You can go for hajj or umrah by proxy on their behalf. You know, these things they will receive in their graveyard. But you going and talking to them and whatnot, no, it's not been prescribed, my brothers and sisters. So Quraysh lost, but they could not absorb that bitterness of them losing that battle, which going to lead the following year to another battle, the Battle of Uhud. Another amazing story. Brothers and sisters, maybe some of you have gone with me for Hajj or Umrah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe some of you have gone with me for Hajj or Umrah. Because normally when I go for Hajj or Umrah, when I go to Medina, I take people to that Mount of the Archers. The Mount of the Archers in Medina. In there, I tell them the story of Uhud. I bring it live. I show them the camp where the Muslims were camping. And I show them where Quraysh were camping. I show them what Khalid bin Walid was going around. I show them things. I make that live, that battle live. People, they cry. People shed tears because it's live. In that Mount of the Archers. I hope I can take you with me for Hajj al-Umrah one day, inshallah. So that you can experience this. People who've been for Hajj and Umrah more than 5, 6, 7 times, they said, and Allah is my witness, we've been to so many Umrahs and Hajj Sheikh, but with you, it's totally different. With you, it's totally different. Wallahi, this is what people they say. We've been for Umrah, Ya Sheikh, many times, or Hajj, with you, it's very different. I make it different. So, brothers and sisters, this battle of Badr resulted in another battle, the Battle of Uhud. What happened in Uhud? what happened to the Muslims? Who won that battle actually? Because some people they say Quraysh won. Some people they said no, the Muslims won. But who actually won? Although the Muslims, we know that they have lost. But who won the Battle of Uhud? What happened in the Battle of Uhud? What was that dream about? The dream that the Prophet saw. He saw a dream. In that dream, he saw cows being slaughtered. He saw crookedness in his sword. And he saw a shield protecting him. What did he interpret that dream about? An amazing, amazing lesson about leadership and about decision making. We will derive that from the Battle of Uhud, brothers and sisters. Now, as I promised you, sisters and brothers, I will leave the Battle of Uhud until next week, inshallah. But before you go, my promise is the poem. My promise to you is the poem. So I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to stop right here, right? And we'll carry on. I will resume about the seerah and the Battle of Uhud next week, inshallah ta'ala. But for now, my promise. And my promise is my poem that I promise, inshallah ta'ala. A letter from a wife to her husband. Are you guys ready? Shazia, Mu'nisa, Yashmin, Saidan, Wahman, Ifran, Hussein, Hafiz Khan, Muhammad. Are you guys ready for my poem? It's a beautiful poem. Remember, I promised, and I'm keeping my promise. So who's ready for the poem, inshallah? Who's ready for the poem, guys? Shazia, she said yes. Saida and Alex Hajj said yes. And Hafiz Khan said yes. Who's ready for this amazing poem? It's a letter from a wife to her husband. You, it's the letter, make it as if it is addressed to you or from you, okay? Feel that this letter is addressed to you or from you, all right? Tasneem, mashallah, 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 Tasalina and Ifran and Tasneem and Wan. MashaAllah. All right. So I want you to feel, okay, those of you on Facebook as well, on Instagram, light spread. Yalla, we're ready. Uh-huh. I want you to feel like this letter is addressed to you or from you to your husband or inshallah to your future husband if you're not married. If you're not married. Okay. I don't know how to start this now. There's so many emotions happening because this poem hit me hard. This poem hit me hard. I was struggling with it today. I truly, truly struggled with it today. Shall I go on? Shall I start? Let's say Bismillah. Shall we say Bismillah? Bismillah. I will say it in Arabic, then I will give you the translation in English, okay? I will say it first in Arabic, and then I will give you the translation in English. Alright? Bismillah. I don't know if I can sing it though, because singing it just made me, I cannot guarantee my tears not falling or not flowing. I will try. حيث التقيتك عاد قلبي نابضا وجرى هواك بداخلي مجرى دمي حيث التقيتك عاد قلبي نابضا وجرى هواك بداخلي مجرى دمي وشعرت حضنك دافئا ورأيتني رغم الحياء ذوبي فيه وأرتمي وشعرت حضنك دافئا ورأيتني رغم الحياء أدوب فيه وأرتمي قل لي أيا رجلا لأي قبيلة ولأي عصر أو لجنس تنتمي قل لي أيا رجلا لأي قبيلة ولأي عصر أو لجنس تنتمي ولمن تعود أصول عينيك التي أضحت قناديل الضياء لعالمي قل لي أيا رجلا لأي قبيلات ولأي عصر أو لجنس تنتمي ولمن تعود أصول عينيك التي أضحت قناديل الضياء لعالمي حيث التقيتك عاد قلبي نابضا وجرى هواك بداخلي مجرى دمي حيث التقيتك عاد قلبي نابضا وجرى هواك بداخلي مجرى دمي وشعرت حضنك دافئا ورأيتني رغم الحياء أدوب فيه وأرتمي قل لي أيا رجلا لأي قبيلة ولأي عصر أو لجنس تنتمي قل لي أيا رجلا لأي قبيلة ولأي عصر أو لجنس تنتمي ولمن تعود أصول عينيك التي أضحت قناديل الضياء لعالمي ولمن تعود أصول عينيك التي أضحت قناديل الضياء لعالمي She says, when I met you, my heart started beating. But what she meant here is as if her heart was not pumping, but when she met her husband, her lover, her husband, her heart started beating. Her heart started beating. And she says, and your love runs inside my bloodstream. So when I met you, my heart started beating and your love ran inside my bloodstream. And she says, and I felt your warm hug and I saw myself. I felt your warm hug and I saw myself. Despite my modesty, I dissolved into it and I threw myself away. Yani in his love, despite her modesty. She says, and I felt your warm hug and I saw myself. Despite my modesty, I dissolved into it and I threw myself away. And then she says something beautiful here. She says, Tell me, O man, from what tribe, what age, and gender you belong to. Yani, where did you come from? Where did you come from? Tell me, O man, from what tribe, what age, and what gender you come from. And what origin are your eyes that illuminated my world? What are the origin of those eyes that have illuminated my world? So he replied to her. Would you like to hear the reply, sisters and brothers? Would you like to hear the reply? Because now he's going to reply back to her. Would you like to hear the reply? Would you like to hear the reply? Yes or yes? Yes? This is what he replies back to her. He says, نعم. إن قلتي أكتب في فضائل حبها أو إن قلت أكتب في فضائل حبها نفد المداد وجفت الأوراق إن قلت أكتب في فضائل حبها نفد المداد وجفت الأوراق. كنت أحسب أعرف الحب قبل أعرفك. كنت أحسب أعرف الحب قبل أعرفك، وعرفت العشق قبل أن أعشقك. إن تسألوا مني الفؤاد يجيبكم بالنبض أن العشق قد أضحى لها. رباه زدنا بالمحبة دائما، واجعل لي كل السرور مآلها. إني عشقت من النساء يقوتة، هي حياتي. زاد الصلاح جمالها. إني عشقت من النساء يقوتة، هي حياتي. زاد الفلاح جمالها. رباه زدنا بالمحبة دائما، واجعل لي كل السرور مآلها. إني رضيت بها ربي يا خالقي، إني رضيت بها وعنها خالقي. فاختم بخير دائما أعمالها. أحبك بعينين تعشق النظر إليك، أحبك بعينين تعشق النظر إليك، أحبك بلسان يكتفي من الغزل بك، أحبك بعينين تعشق النظر إليك، وأحبك بلسان يكتفي من الغزل بك. لو كنت أملك أن أهديك عيني لوضعتها بين يديك. لو كنت أملك أن أهديك قلبي لنزعته من صدري وقدمته إليك. لو كنت أملك أن أهديك عمري لسجلت أيامي باسمك. لكني لا أملك سوى الكلمات من صادق التعبيرات، فلتكن هذه هديتي إليك. من يقول أني أحبك ما عرف قيمة غلائي. من يقول أني أحبك ما عرف قيمة غلاك. أنت فوق الحب كله. أنت في عيني ملاكي. هي حياتي عنوانها عنواني. هي حبيبتي بستانها بستاني، ورفيقة العمر الذي أيامه في عينها أزكى من الريحان. ورفيقة العمر الذي أيامه في عينها أزكى من الريحان. He says, if you were to ask me to write about my virtues of my love towards her, نفد المداد وجفت الأوراق. He says, all the inks will be dry and papers will run out if I were to describe the virtue of how much I love her. He says, the ink will dry and there will be no more papers left. He says, I thought that I knew about love before I met her. Now he's talking to his wife. He says, I thought I knew about love before I met her. وعرفت العشق قبل أن أعشقك. And he thought, if you were to ask the Fu'ad, if you were to ask my heart will respond, بالنبضي أن العشق قد أضحى لها. The heart would respond by the beating, mentioning her name. He says, I love you, بعينيني تعشق النظر إليك. I love you through these eyes who love to look at you. And I love you with a tongue that can't feel, that can't stop from talking about you. I love you with eyes that love looking at you, and I love you with a tongue that can't stop talking about you. If I were to offer you my eyes, he says, if I were to offer you my eyes, I would have put them before your hands. If I were to offer you my heart, I would have snatched it out from my breast and put it beside you. If I were to offer you my whole life, I would have recorded my days with your name. That's it. If I were to offer you my whole life, I would have سجلت أيامي بإسمك. I would have recorded my days with your name. But I can only offer you these words that are coming from the depth of my heart. Whoever says that I love you truly does not know the true meaning of love. Whoever says that I love you truly does not know the meaning of love. Why? Because you are above every love. Although the love of Allah should come first, of course. But he says, whoever says that I love you does not really know about love, because you are above every love. Inti aini malaki. In my eyes, you are my malak. In my eyes, you are my malak. You are my life. You are my garden. You are my life. You are my garden. And you are rafiqatul darb. And you are my partner in this life. Whereas our aim is to reach Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. A beautiful letter from a wife to her husband, and a beautiful reply from the husband to his wife. Those of you who are married, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prosper that marriage. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you hold hands in this dunya and make you hold hands in the hereafter. Those of you who are not married, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah bless them and bless you all with the appropriate, inshaAllah ta'ala, spouse who will be the coolness to your eyes, inshaAllah. And those of you who may be going to divorce, if there is khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite you back with your spouse. And if there is no khair in it, and Allah knows best, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you something better. Those of you who may be going through a divorce, again, if there is khair, may Allah bring you back together. And there is, if there is no khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you someone better. May Allah bring you someone better who deserves you, who deserves your heart, who deserves your love, who deserves your sacrifice, who deserves you as a person. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. I'm done. Jazakumullah khair, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining. I hope you enjoyed today's session. I hope you enjoyed the poem. I'm sorry I could not really sing it because I became so emotional. It hit me hard. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you all and to help us all to practice and to convey. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you so much. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah ta'ala. Right? I hope to see you all next week, inshallah. Thank you, Saidan. Thank you, Salina. Thank you, Hafiz. Thank you, Yashmin. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you, Lightspread. Thank you, Baizulatis. Thank you. Thank you, Romina. Thank you, Mu'nisa. Thank you, Munisa. Thank you. Oh, Lady Mahir, mashallah, long time no see. Thank you, Lady Mahir. Thank you, Layla, for joining. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Shmi. Thank you. Thank you, Zakum Allah Khair. Those of you on Facebook as well. Thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Barakallah feekum. And I hope to see you next week. Thank you, Zoya Laraib. Thank you. Light Spray, thanks again for joining. Thank you for seeing. Thank you for coming. Facebook. Thank you, Ifran Hussein. Thank you so much for joining again. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair again. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you, Alex Hajj. Thank you for being there. Thank you, Alex. Jazakumullah khair. As-salamu. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. Thank you, Tasneem. Thank you, Tasneem. Assalamu alaikum. Tasbah ala khair. Assalamu alaikum.